This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we bring in Lou Maloney, I've got to tell a great story, and Lou, come in and laugh at this. So I used to be the morning guy at an R&B station here in the market and did this thing called R&B Madness. And John did it in the office as well. My office was next to OMF, next door. Fourier could just, he could just send some toxic fumes out of there. That's not the story there. And what do you know that? But Maloney won the R&B Madness pool. Beat Michael Holly. Let's bring in Lou Maloney. Lou, you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You kidding me? You brought R&B. I was like, this is like college days. This is
this guy
of the future.
Killed
this
it.
Is like, I mean, what are we doing here?
Right. You know, I had to pull Holly aside. I had to pull Holly aside. I said, you should be embarrassed.
You know? You should be embarrassed. But Keith Sweat, I grew up on this, KJ. Don't mess with me. This is my college years, man.
Lou, it's so good to hear your voice and have you on here. The big story, obviously, is the Juan Soto chase.
Yeah.
How real do you believe it is?
Well, I would say this. They're one of four teams sitting down with them, so that's a good thing. I think it's in order of what you would think would happen. I think the Blue Jays sit down first. I don't think they got a shot. I think it's an outside shot for the Red Sox. I think you're trying to thread a needle. I think there'll be deferred monies. But then I think the New York teams go at it. I don't see how Steve Cohen lets this guy go. I mean, they basically named the tax after him, the highest threshold. Mm. And I don't see how the Mets don't get this guy. You know, but I'm glad that they're at the table and not invited.
So, Lou, you said something there that I want to follow up on. You mentioned threading the needle.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because I guess folks around here, a lot of fans especially, they think, all right, this is the Red Sox team that traded Mookie, you know, Xander left, you know, traded Sale, right, higher price players, and for a variety of reasons.
Right.
And I think a lot of folks just say, well, why can't they just go for it? Why can't they just make them the biggest offer? Why do you say thread the needle?
Well, only because now it's up to the player as well, and I think then probably needs to be some deferred money. Listen, I want the player. He's a Hall of Famer already. He's just turned 26. I think everybody wants the player. But I need to know what the future plan is for the payroll. Because when you sign Juan Soto, you need to be committed to 300-plus for the life of the contract in order to go out and build your team, to get the pitching that you need, to get the high-priced starter, to go out and build the bullpen. You can't just live with Juan Soto and a bunch of rookies. You know, I mean, and the Yankees had some players, but basically it was Juan Soto, Judge, and Cole. You know what I mean? Like, you need others. You need an entire team. So if you can defer some money, which he has to agree with, so it's that's why I say thread the needle, to where, like, Cohen would just be like, I don't really care. Here's $650 million, whatever it takes. I just think that the reality is, I think teams are fishing in a bigger pond. I think the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, they have more revenue than you. You know, not that the Red Sox are cheap by any means. And they should be spending up to the threshold. They should go over the threshold. Should they be a $320 million team? That's going to be a tough ask. Maybe he's willing to do it. I have no idea. We'll find out.
So the lineup the Red Sox have, as we know, it's lefty heavy. Soto's another lefty. And last year, the Red Sox had the third most strikeouts overall in the MLB, but the most, 506 strikeouts against left-handed pitching alone, the most in the league. So I know Soto, as you mentioned, he's a Hall of Fame player already, and I don't worry about him in that regard. But beyond Soto, what can they do with this lineup besides just the obvious, hey, sign a righty, to kind of improve that situation?
Well, there's no question they have strikeout problems. And the biggest problem with the lefties weren't just like the platoons and everything else. It was like they basically made Duran and Devers normal. You know, like those guys' OPSs were high sixes, 700.
Yeah.
You know, against lefties. So they not only did you take guys out of your lineup that you wanted to be hitting every single day because they tattoo righties, but you neutralized your best hitters. You just turned them into normal dudes. So for me, the strikeout thing is a big thing. And that tweaking the roster in some way, obviously Soto with his walks, that would improve as well. It's, to me, that's about personnel. You know, when you lose a guy like Verdugo and you lose a guy like Justin Turner and you replace them with Abreu and Tyler O'Neill, you're going to strike out a lot more, period. Mm. So are there a few of those tweaks? Even if take the Soto thing out. You know, I think you got to start looking at guys to kind of give you more competitive at-bats, whether it's just adding a couple dudes to this lineup that can at least compete. And you hope that some of the rookies get a little bit better at it as they go.
Lou Maloney here with us here on KJ Lines. We're just absolutely honored that you're here. Considering we're talking, John, to a future broadcast Hall of Famer in the legends of other great second basemen in the baseball realm.
But I don't know about
that. Yeah, we'll stick around. I was one of the first people that predicted it. But Lou, you did hit upon something. Yep. Go back to when Devers was negotiating his deal and there was a lot of kind of feelings going on and the name Matt Olson as a comp came up. And you were like, wait a minute, Matt Olson's a first baseman. Do you believe that there is a plan to move Devers to first and maybe make room maybe for an Alex Bregman at third to get that other right-handed bat? Or do you think it's going to take even more than just that?
I do think that everything is really on the table, you know. And I've mentioned Casas' name a lot, and everybody sort of jumps all over that. Why don't you like him? Why don't you like him? I think everything is on the table. And I know that they have publicly come out, whether it's an agent, whether it's Breslow, whether it's you name it, everybody saying Devers is playing third base and he's going to be there for a while. Well, you never talk about the move to first until there's a reason to. You know, why even bring that up now? You know what I mean? Why talk about trading a player and having it fall through and then have to have that player on your team? You know what I mean? You're going to run into a comeback 2004 Nomar Garciaparra situation, right? Walking back into the clubhouse. So I don't think there's any reason to talk about it publicly. I think if one path was, you know, they made a huge trade and I don't think, you know, not saying and predicting it's going to happen, but if Casas was moved, Devers is going to play first. And you're going to improve yourself defensively at third base with somebody. That's, like I said, there's so many options with this team, whether it's financially going out and signing free agents, with the prospects that they have at the big league level, with the young big leaguers that they have on this roster. They can go so many different ways.
Lou, I know the big story is Juan Soto, and it should be, but I've had my eye for, and you can ask KJ this, for over a year now on this starting rotation. I was screaming last winter for them to get any of those good starters available, and
Montgomery.
They didn't. Yeah, any of them, right? Cease, Imanaga, anybody, right? But you look at this past season, they had 57 quality starts, which was 15th. Their bullpen threw the 10th most innings in the MLB and had the 24th bullpen ERA. And I think a lot of that, again, contributes to starters not going deep enough in games. When you look at this rotation, in my opinion, I want to add two guys. I don't want to just trade for Garrett Crochet. And again, I love the player, but I want to add two guys there and have Houck and Bayo be my 3-4. Is that too ambitious a goal? Do you look at this as, hey, they can add one starter at the front and they'll be okay? Do you think they should add two? Kind of where do you fall on that?
I think you can add one and be okay. I'm with you, though, as far as the two goes. Maybe that's a Crochet, and then you take a shot on somebody like a Kikuchi that in that kind of pond. But I think a lot of that, what you're talking about is, you know, the quality starts and the length you got from the rotation had a lot to do with new guys in it. You know what I mean? Like Cutter Crawford trying to get deeper is like year two as a starter. Tanner Houck, year one as a starter. You know, like Bayo, year two as a starter. So I think in terms of Houck and Crawford, they created foundation years. You know, like you don't have to worry about the inning totals anymore. Now it's like every year you expect something more from somebody. You know, like this year you expected Crawford to go 5 2/3, 5 1/3, not 4 2/3 like he did the year before. You know, this year for Houck, it was just really like a mission of seeing that this guy can even do it. And he did for a while, and I think kind of tired a little bit. So now you expect him to build on that. So I think, you know, I expect those guys to kind of mature as starters in this league if they're all here. But, you know, one guy, Giolito's coming back. He's a wild card. I don't even know if he's going to be ready for camp. Mm. I don't know if the reason why he struggled the last couple of years, because before that he was really good, was because of this lingering elbow that finally gave out. I don't know if he comes back and he's Giolito from 2020, 21, when he was really good. So But I'm with you. I like depth. That's why I like the QO to Pivetta at this point, because we'll see if he refuses, you get a pick. If not, you got a guy that strikes guys out, and at least you know he can go some innings.
Lou, sticking with the pitching staff, because John Lass, when I was looking at last year of the acquisitions, I had nailed Lucas Giolito.
Yep.
I said it wasn't just not really anything jump up and down, but just thinking of where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So John is a little upset with me a bit. He got a very tight in the chest yesterday when I mentioned like a Luis Severino as a potential pitcher that they may go out and get. Because do you think the team, after the money they spent for Sale, yeah, you got one World Series out of him, but you got a lot more headache after it, and then him going to win the Cy Young once you deal him off. Do you feel like the Sox, and I know you can't speak for them, would they be a little bit hesitant to give that frontline pitcher all the money they want after coming out of the Sale situation?
No, I think they're going to be involved in these guys. I think I expect them to get a frontline starter. And it might not be big money, because I think the Crochet deal, to me, makes a ton of sense. And maybe my preference at this point, even though there's risk there. But Severino, to me, is a no. And the reason why is the QO, the qualifying offer. Like, it's just, I don't know. And that's why one of the reasons why I think Pivetta is going to be here, too. But we'll see. I mean, these teams, you know, they covet these draft picks now. They covet the money and international signing bonus. If you're one of the eight teams that went over the luxury tax and you signed Severino, you signed Pivetta, you give up a second-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and $1 million in signing bonus money. I'll do that for Fried. I'll do that for Burns. You know what I mean? Are you going to do that for Severino and Pivetta? And I like both of them. You know, I think Pivetta has value. It's just that I don't know. Am I going to do that for a guy that I think solidifies my number fourth and fifth spot in my rotation? That's a lot to ask. You do that 3 or 4 years in a row, keep losing second-round picks, fifth-round picks, signing bonus money. Then you look at your minor league system, and you look like the Red Sox back in 2020 when Dave left.
Yeah.
So, Lou, would you, and I know this is kind of a broad question, but would you rather them, say, sign a Juan Soto and trade for Garrett Crochet, or trade for Crochet and sign a Max Fried or Corbin Burns? Because I don't think they'd be able to do all of that, right? So would you rather them get the two really good pitchers, or the one good pitcher, and then, of course, the great, you know, best bat available out there?
The Soto discussion, again, just goes to, I need to talk to John Henry.
Yeah. What's the commitment? So I guess,
honestly,
like, is he wearing a Liverpool shirt today? Can you get a read? You know,
well, I'm just saying, if you're going to tell me they're going to live in like the 260 range of a salary, you know, 250, 270, then I would say, well, then you're out of Soto.
Yeah.
Then you're out of Soto. You know, because you're not going to get Soto in one starter and not even beef up a bullpen or not find a right-handed bat.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I need to know where financially you're willing to go. If you're willing to go that far, then I'll take Crochet and Soto. And you know, it's like, and then the following year, I'll find another starter. You know, we'll go from there. This isn't to be built overnight. I get everybody wants to, but even when they built that team in 2018, it started in 16, you know, with Price and Kimbrel. And then it went to Chris Sale in 17. And then it was J.D. Martinez in 18 before it was really built. And then, to be honest with you, you still needed Evaldi at the deadline. So, you know, it takes a little bit of time, but those two guys put you in the playoffs if you're willing to spend the money. Are they? I don't know. I kind of like your path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just see where they go. Without Soto, as great as he is, unless they're willing to go to 300.
Lou, I've said here that I like the idea where Craig Breslow was going. I thought that Craig Breslow was kind of the guy that was going to find the weeds of the pitchers in the high double A, triple A level that you can get into the organization and address the pitching that way versus. It was like, you know, hey, this guy had a Band-Aid in 2017, but hopefully that Band-Aid comes off and he can perform this year. Do you see a really good relationship now with him and Alex Cora, especially Alex Cora coming back, versus what it felt like with Alex Cora and with Chaim Bloom?
I think it's better than with Chaim, and that's only because of time. You know, I think, you know, in time, Alex was ready to win, and the organization really wasn't. You know, and Chaim was kind of stuck in the middle of that. So, and now with Breslow, it's great because it's new. Talk to me in February. You know, I mean, if this is all talk and they don't really improve, then I'll be willing to bet that relationship isn't great. Talk to me at the deadline. The deadline is the most strenuous times between GMs and managers, right?
Yeah.
Because the manager wants to win now. He's got a 3-year deal.
Oh, we saw it on his face. Yeah, like, oh my gosh.
Like the manager and the players, by the way, they don't give a rat's ass about some kid in Double A. They really don't. They don't care what this team looks like in 6 years. They care what this team looks like in August, October, and September. You know what I mean? So they
really saw it on their face in 21. 21, you really saw it on their faces.
Yeah.
Like, help!
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, give it some time, and we'll see. You know, we'll see. This is a big offseason. It really is, and it's the potential, hopefully, to kind of probably pleasantly surprise some people. We'll see.
Lou, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about their problems in the field, because I think this is an area that can get better relatively quickly. I mean, they're 29th in fielding percentage last year, 29th in errors. They had five guys with at least seven errors.
Yeah.
Is this something you think they're going to target with some signings, or is it going to be minor leaguers getting promoted, or do you think some of these guys are just going to naturally progress? I mean, we just saw Willy Abreu win a gold glove as a rookie. Like, is it going to be something that they can do internally, or are they going to have to make some tweaks outside to improve their fielding?
Well, I think it's going to depend, too, like on the bats that they chase, right? Like, I think we all admit that they need to improve, right, this team. And they basically have a starting nine right now, and you kind of would like to see them tweak it somewhere. But, you know, Trevor Story really plays a huge role in this, because I think he plays an outstanding shortstop. And I think he really exposed this team defensively the last 2 years, because, you know, if your outfield is Rafael and Senna, Duran in the left and Abreu in right, you have three gold glovers. Like, you have a gold glove outfield and Story at shortstop. That's a gold glove shortstop. So all of a sudden, you've improved overnight just by health. And I think this year, like, if Story was healthy, I kind of look at it like Rafaela would have settled in at second. And I think you would have been really good defensively up the middle with Abreu and Duran in right and center. So, like, Story makes all the difference in the world. Now, like I said, if you make a trade, like, just say you trade your gold glove right fielder. You know, and so it's now how do you get better defensively? And so I think Story really plays a role. But I think for the first time in probably 2 years, you have backup at shortstop, whether that's Seydan Rafaela playing there for a little bit, whether it's Marcelo Meyer kind of showing he's ready midsummer. You've got some backup there finally, but you got to get better defensively. That's going to help your pitching staff.
Lou Maloney, I got to ask you before you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you three names. You tell me what they have in common. Joe Morgan, Jerry Remy, Lou Maloney.
They all played second base, but the first two were a lot better than the third.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about three broadcast Hall of Famers. I see it coming. Lou, you did your first game in 2021 when I first joined the station, and I stood at the top of the hill and I said, look, I grew up listening to Phil Rizzuto.
Mm-hmm.
Personality cuts through so well along with the game of baseball. I know you're probably not you're not an openly funny guy trying to tell people jokes. But when I tell you that you come across
to my game, though, I'm going to add that to my repertoire. I'm going to start doing jokes.
Hire John Lines as your joke writer. Trust me, all the jokes will go over like a lead balloon. Yeah. But literally, I think this is such your natural calling. And look, when they call you at Cooperstown now, we might both need walkers to get there. I want a ticket because I think you're just absolutely fabulous. Calling baseball games, the joy just completely exudes. Thank you so much for coming out and hanging out with John and I.
Well, thank you. I may not agree with those compliments, but I appreciate it. But anytime.
But you don't agree with hanging out with John and I? Because the other stuff I was saying is absolutely
he wouldn't
damn
be
true.
The first one. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, thank you so much, Lou, man. And we look forward to hearing you this season and all of its grace and humor. And we appreciate you being here on KJ Lines.
All right, boys. Anytime. Just give me a call.
You got it. Lou Maloney.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B King.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.